Hello, and welcome to a special podcast profile with Mr. John Iman, president of ASNT. Today's podcast is brought to you by SureHand, the self-service hiring platform that instantly matches industrial employers with verified tradespeople. Check them out at surehand.com. Thank you for joining us today, John, and a belated congratulations on the election.
Oh, thank you, Mary Beth.
So our goal today is to give our listeners a little bit of an idea of who you are and what your vision is for ASNT and maybe the future of our industry. So no pressure there. But first, let's get started with some easier questions. We'll start with, why did you run to be an officer in ASNT?
So I appreciate the question. You know, first and foremost, thank you. Thanks, SureHand. And, you know, with regard to that, I want to thank everybody and all of our members, because without them, I wouldn't be here. One of the reasons I ran for office was to say thank you for the life I have today. A big part of that has been the people, certainly within the NDT community, the industry. Some might want to call that the sometimes we kind of are like the circus. Sometimes we are a little bit like the greatest show on earth. But at other times, you know, my family has been afforded a wonderful life, and that's because of a lot of those people and a lot of the wonderful volunteers of ASNT. And look, I was asked, maybe I have a problem saying no as well. But at the end of the day, I was honored. It's a debt I can never repay. And that's why I ran for office, as well as I do think there's some good I can do for the association with the experiences I've had and the people that I do know, like yourself.
Well, we're certainly happy to have you at ASNT for sure. So is there anything new with ASNT that you think our listeners should know about?
Well, a lot's new in regard to how we, like many others and all of us, including families, have adapted to 2020 COVID and the whole nine yards. You know, we didn't have a conference last year. We didn't have much fellowship. We didn't get, traditionally, when you, it's been one thing that we kind of realized, not only as an association, but the board has become keenly aware. So many things got done at our conferences between the volunteer network, but scattered throughout the year. Certainly there was some work, but it really hinged on getting together. And so that's been a big change with regard to, you know, how can we become more efficient? How can we become more digital? Just like everyone else, and like we are right here, a lot of the technology's been out for a long time. Well, I'm here to report ASNT's finally adopting some of it with regard to, you know, how we can become a little bit more efficient in those areas. I think they also need to know, and if they don't know, there are people as well as, and you know this very well and have been one and continue to be to a large degree, the volunteers, their time that they spend for free, but out of passion for not only doing what's right, sometimes a little fun along the way with who you're working with, certainly, but literally for the passion and the mission of this society is remarkable. And that's only been amplified this past year, in addition to making very critical decisions on directions, investments. You know, that's been very, very important. Second thing, you know, I'd ask that, you know, I'd like our listeners to understand is to be a little patient with us, but to become active. We need to do a better job of harnessing ideas. We need to do a much better job of harnessing people's voices, whether it's the voice of the member, people who aren't members yet, who are just curious, and be patient with us as we implement some of that, as well as kind of our strategic plan. But at the same time, you know, help us. And maybe I am begging, I don't know, but we will absolutely use your expertise. We have a very healthy balance sheet. There's some areas we need to do a lot better in. We actually do real well in our investments in some areas. So we're very financially stable. But there's some areas operationally we want to get better. And those are the things I think everybody needs to know overall. But again, people have been tirelessly working behind the scenes, and we will take more help and more ideas any day of the week. And we will do a better job of listening and being an ambassador for the membership.
Excellent. Excellent. Well put. So I guess with all that in mind, can you tell us a little bit about what your vision is for ASNT and I guess the NDT industry overall?
So, you know, I appreciate the question very much. I don't know that it's my vision by any means, but, you know, through listening to a lot of people over the years and continuing to listen, I think the areas that we really need to major on strategically as well as tactically, one is certification leadership, period. We have a wonderful program and we have had one for a long time. We need to protect it with regard to basically our level 3 program, but we also need to do everything we can to grow it. And that's from an international perspective. We also need to continue in some other areas. You know, we launched last year the ISQ aspect of it around performance-based testing. And the really great thing there, when you look back in the history, we had a lot of positive times where we listened and worked with industry. The creation of TC1A, ISQ is another one. We would like to do some more. There's some other areas where I think over time, ASNT either didn't have the bandwidth or the desire to answer industry's calls. And candidly, I think at times they didn't say no, and they didn't say yes, they didn't say anything. And I say they, that's we. So that's an area, even if we say no, we need to say no and move down the road. But certification leadership is an area, again, I think we really need to continue to command, do a better job, because the world has become a very competitive place with that. And we need to understand the landscape, because it's very regional too. Across the world, it is a little bit different in each region, each country, and it's hard to understand all that. But that's an area that the other area I think that we can do more is, you know, our executive director wrote about it and has been talking about it, but it's something we've really never done well is advocacy. We, you know, we do a lot for our members, whether that's, you know, things from the STEM projects to women in NDT that you've led. And I think all of those are great. What we have not done, and we need to do more of that when possible, but what we haven't done is really tap in and be champions for the industry with big corporations, governments, whether that be the United States, Asia, Europe, wherever the case may be, advocating what we do. And how we can also do everything in our power to highlight, hey, you might not need all these regulations because our job is to create this safer. Come check this out. Matter of fact, come help us build it if we need to build it. And we're going to make sure that the world is a safer place, but we need to be able to advocate for that. I'd stop a little short of quote unquote lobbying, but you know, I think that's an area we really need to get great at. And again, you know, structural bridges, again, I'm picking on you a little bit, MP, but you know, as well as anybody, you and others and one that we lost to that big ASNT meeting in the sky here recently and others, we need to do a better job of advocating for the industry, not just individually. And so I think those are some areas we really want to do better. And then the last one is just some value creation. I think with some of these efficiencies as we've done and we've started to do a lot more virtual meetings, I think there's some really good positive things from that. But I think we also, we've done real well to serve the level 3 for a long time. We've talked about the level 2s and 1s ever since I've participated at ASNT. We have got to figure that riddle out. We have got to figure out why do they need to be a member and why should they be a member? We need to be able to answer that question and create the right value and services around that for that. I mean, I don't even know a level 1 anymore. I'm sure that there's some out there, but and I'm being facetious a little bit, but but that's the lifeblood to get to a level three. What are we doing to empower, educate, advocate, and why should they become a member or their company? That's the last thing I think we need to really focus on. And again, hopefully we'll answer that riddle.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think maybe 2 years ago now, ASNT, I know, did implement that new membership program where it was young professional membership. And I think that was one step in the right direction in terms of trying to pull in these people earlier in their careers, not waiting till their mid to late career to get them involved in ASNT and really be part of the discussion about specifications, standards, and where the industry is going. So I think that is going to be a big part of what, you know, how ASNT is going to move forward and be a larger part of the conversation as well as that advocacy portion as well. The more people we can get involved on a national level, the bigger our voice is.
I agree. And I think you're right in the sense, you know, anything that we can do to gain that taproot of experience as well as, you know, no one really sat down with me, I don't know about you, but said, here's what all your career could be. I had some great mentors in this world, but you know, you look at the ones out there that are actually the practitioners as well. And they go on to work for manufacturers. They become management. They become owners. The world is your oyster. Not, you know, pardon the age old analogy there, or the, it's not even an analogy, but we need to be able to provide that career development. We need to be able to articulate it, and you can go if you want to turn left, turn left. You want to turn right, turn right. But here's what you should expect along the way. Might or might not be wage increases. Might or might not be more responsibility. Might or might not be managing people. Some of those soft skills are important too. That I think we need to, we need to assist with developing those, and we need to assist with teaching those. So yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and I agree with that also. I think a lot of people get an idea when they enter the industry of where their career has to go versus where it can go and the different opportunities in different sectors. But also even with like the NDT 4.0 stuff that we're looking at in terms of robotics and automation and how you can utilize your NDE or NDT knowledge to work then with cutting edge technology. And that's exciting to some people. You know, I think for a long time, we lost a lot of people to sort of the computer science side of education. And I think if we can really advocate for the industry, show the different options, show that you can make a good career at any level, I think there's definitely some opportunities out there, particularly right now where maybe people are looking to change careers and looking for other opportunities. So I totally agree with what you're saying. So let's switch gears a little bit. So this we always ask in pretty much every podcast we do, because there's always an interesting story. So how did you get into NDT?
So it's one of the most powerful questions, followed quickly, or perhaps a precursor, what is NDT, right? I actually remember you many years ago, you can see, well, it's a podcast, but I do have some silver hair now, but I actually had it then too. But I remember when we used to, you were at the Houston section speaking and you asked and you were launching your company and what's NDT mean to you? And, you know, how did you get into it? It's a remarkable question. Look, I got into it by complete accident. I was at a crossroads in my life and I did have alcohol involved. An old regular of mine, who I will mention his name on here, used to come into Dallas all the time. I was going to school, working part-time, tending bar. And he always asked me if I was interested in getting NDE. And I was always trying to provide great customer service and always had, you know, he drank a Heineken, I remember, and always had that ready when I saw him come in. It was about once a month. And one day, finally, I just said, you're great. You treat me phenomenal. But I don't know what NDT is. And I don't know how I could provide any value. I'm a political science major. I was like, I don't. And he told me the importance of it. And he went through that and he said, I think he goes, I watch you. And he goes, you care. And there's some good, you know, you do a lot of service. And again, I was Tendon Bar and it was Brad Remick. And next thing I know, I was employed by a company out of Minnesota who had a Houston office, was expanding their growth with North Star Imaging way back in the day. And the rest has been history. And I think, you know, I look back, you talk about a crossroads in life. And I look back and say, what possessed me to ask that question that day? Because he had been, I got to say, he was kind of suggesting it for quite some time. And he was in that town about once a month. And he was going to see like big aerospace clients there. And then, you know, just the importance of safety and what we provided. And we were underneath the radar, kind of humble in a big way. But it was very, very important. And come to find out all that's been true. And it's just been remarkable. And that's how I got into NDT. So.
Well, and that is one of the more interesting stories that I don't know if anything will beat Danny Keck's, but also alcohol was involved there as well. And a bar. So
yeah, a telephone and a bar, you know, the other two precursors right there. So, yeah.
So, what do you do in your free time, if you have any?
So, you know, work-life balance over the years is an area that I've got a continued development needed challenge. But, you know, I like to work. I like to be with people. Some of the things I do, you know, to kind of pass the time and keep sharp in some areas, while my knees are still holding up and I probably need to be in better shape and lose a few LBs, I still try to play very competitive tennis, love the sport, love the game, and try to, again, still play very, try to stay very, play very competitive tennis. And then I do like golf. So those are kind of my two hobbies. I wish I was better at it. It's also one thing that has been very frustrating. I was always taught, you know, work hard, study hard, play hard, all those things. Well, golf doesn't mean you get any better. And everything else in my life, I've always been able to get better at it with practice. But anyway, I digress. And I try to spend a lot of time with my family. You know, recently in the past 5 years, I also have a couple grandkids that have just been a bundle of joy. And I just like to kind of spend a lot of time with them. As well as, you know, volunteering in some areas I think is important, just like with AS&T, when I do have the time in a couple different organizations that I participate in.
Great. Well, I think most people feel that way about their golf game, that no matter how hard they practice, they're still not where they want to be.
Yeah.
So I guess along those lines, what is something people who interact with you at AS&T events might not know about you?
So it's certainly an interesting question and a good one. You know, I don't know if any of them knew until now how I got into this industry. So those that listen will shortly know about that. I don't know that at one period of time, I actually, a little bit of a fun fact, before I got married here about 6 years ago and have a wonderful family. Now I lived in an astronaut's old house over in an old part of Houston. It was Armstrong's old house. He lived there for 2.5 years, I believe, but I still claim it. So as a fun fact, so he did live two places there. You know, and that's probably about it with me. I'm pretty much a open book. And for those that know me quite well, and they also know that I probably need to do a better job of not talking and listening. So with that, I'm going to listen. By the way, I want to know, MB, have you answered the question on a podcast on how you got into NDT?
Possibly. I think I may have mentioned it once, but I have that weird story of I read an article the day before I started college at Johns Hopkins, and I said, that's exactly what I want to do. Bob Green wrote the article about non-destructive testing of bridges. And yeah. I said, yep, that's it. So long, long story short, basically I changed my major and kept knocking on his door until he let me work for him in his one of his labs.
And they did, unfortunately, though, maybe I have my history incorrect, but they had the NDE degree. Do they don't have that anymore though, correct?
They didn't particularly have a degree. They had a center there. And Boro Georgievic was part of it as well. So I did a lot of work with him. But I got to work on, you know, eddy current testing of General Motors cylinder liners my freshman year of college. So there was just some really exciting opportunities, Shimano bike cranks. So very, very cool stuff that I got involved with and did a lot of research in my time there. So it was great, but I think he didn't know what hit him. I kept knocking on his door until he said, yes. He said, who's this girl from Jersey? So I guess let's just end with, is there anything else you want to tell our listeners?
You know, again, I'm a big fan, and it's been taught to me, and I try to pass it on to everyone that gratitude is an action verb. And we have a wonderful industry. It's very important. We need your help. I need your help. In the association within the American Society of Non-Destructive Testing. I think, you know, the initiatives that I lined out are kind of lofty when it comes to the strategic goals and planning. Again, we need some input along those lines. You know, other than that, I think, you know, we need to remain safe. We need to remain vigilant. We need to remain leaders in everything we do, not only from a non-destructive testing, whether that's research and development or the practitioner of it or the engineering of it. I think we need to, even with some of the health challenges or the health challenges going around, you know, we need to be safe. We need to think, you know, before we act in all those things. So again, I just challenge all of us to continue to be safe, be connected in the best ways we can, and figure out how to fellowship. You know, you and I've gotten to have a little bit of time. I know you're phenomenally busy. We all are, but you know, we make a little bit of time to fellowship too. And I think that's been a really hard part with our association. You know, again, back to the fact that we haven't had those conferences. I think it's important, you know, and look, we've lost some NDTers, if you will, who certainly you and I, and certainly you, but were heroes. And God, you know, God bless them and their families. And we didn't necessarily have the opportunity to kind of suit up and show up with them. But, you know, these are the things I think we need to be vigilant. I think we need to remember. And I think, again, we need to get back to fellowshipping, hopefully face-to-face as soon as we possibly can, and just stay connected.
For sure. And I'll reiterate that. I know that one of the good things that have come out of this whole situation is that I've been able to attend ASNT section meetings in New York and in Houston. And even my section here in Los Angeles is about 2 hours from my house on a regular traffic day. So I've been able to attend more of those meetings. So it's really been, it's been great to reconnect with people who I normally wouldn't see at an ASNT section meeting. And so I do think that fellowship is huge. And you know, I think it's important for all of us because we don't have an easy job. This is a job that requires integrity in the face of a lot of resistance from, you know, people with money and people who have timelines that don't fit in with, you know, hey, there's an indication here, there's a flaw here, you can't proceed. So I think it's important to have that support system of fellow people who have that like mindset to try to remember why it's so important that we do our jobs correctly.
Very well said, MB.
So, but yes, I'm really looking forward to getting together face-to-face. Hopefully for AS&T, digital imaging, I think, is the first one slated to be in person. And then we've got NDTMA the next week. And hopefully by the middle of the summer, we'll be able to do that for sure.
We might not play tennis at that one if I'm there, but we, what was that game? You whooped us. We roll the balls.
Bocce.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. We should do that. We should definitely do that.
Let's go.
I built a course in my backyard over the pandemic. So, you know,
of course you did.
It's right outside my office door. So whenever this clears up, you can just, we'll have to get together and play some bocce, because I know you beat me at tennis. So I'll have to stick with the bocce game.
No, I can't wait.
Well, thank you so much, John, for joining us today and sharing your thoughts with our listeners. We really appreciate your time both here today, as well as volunteering for the industry. We know what the job as AS&T president is not an easy one. So we really appreciate all that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank your listeners and thank your sponsors.
Yes. And thank you all for listening today. Remember, we have new podcasts every month here on NDT Now, as well as industry news and product demos and more. And lastly, a thank you to our podcast sponsor, SureHand. Let good jobs find you. Visit them at surehand.com.